Hi everyone, welcome to the True Tales from Harrods, the Leadership Excellence Edit. I'm Jenna Hurley, the Director of Talent, and I'm so glad to have you here with us today. So this podcast is about one thing. It's about our people, the leaders of our business, and the people who bring Harrods to life every single day and the magic that our customers experience every single day. Today, I'm sat with someone who has a huge influence over how the world sees Harrods, James Moore, our head of brand and divisional marketing. Good morning, James. Welcome to our very first True Tales from Harrods, the Leadership Excellence Edit. How are you today?
I'm really good. I'm like super excited for this conversation.
So am I.
And so thank you for having me for the first one.
I think we're very honoured to have you. And obviously it's a big moment for you. Obviously as our head of brand and divisional marketing, we have just launched our Harrods brand book, which we'll come on to later. But I first wanted to start by asking you a little bit about your childhood, because we have something in common and something that's very dear to both of us, our Welsh heritage.
Yes, yes.
So I know from talking to you and for knowing you for a few years, you're from Cardiff.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what it was like for little James growing up in Cardiff and your dreams and aspirations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's even just so nice to sit with a fellow Welsh person. I feel almost like we should be doing this like as bod a dar and like talking to each other.
You know, I don't speak much Welsh. That's the problem. Oh. So yeah, you'll have to teach me a few. I mean, I know the basics, so yeah. I could respond to that.
And
for
same.
Sure.
I was really good up in until high school. And then the less you do it, the less you like remember it.
But
now I've got like a legion of nieces and nephews who are learning again. I'm starting to like tap back in a little bit and remember the odd.
Because you have
eight nieces and nephews.
I mean, that's quite a brood, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And they're all like different shades of personality. So trying to keep up is also tough. But I quite like being the uncle from London, because that means I basically just turn up with
gifts
and presents.
Well, they probably think you're utterly cool as well.
I wouldn't go that far. I feel like their passions like rugby and ice hockey. And I'm like, I just, when you want to go to a Britney Spears concert or a Madonna concert, come and talk to Uncle James.
He'll come round.
Until that moment, I'm fine. But no, as a kid, I was, I mean, I kind of feel actually, we should probably ask my four sisters, like, what was I like as a kid? They would probably give a far more honest answer.
I'm sure they would.
Than
yes.
me. But I mean, I was a little bit like of a naughty kid at home. But I don't know that I was, like, I was never mean with my naughtiness, but I was just a bit defiant, a bit of an act of rebellion. And my dad used to film so many moments of us, like, on day trips, like Cardiff Bay
that's
or whatever.
So amazing. So like the Cardiff Kardashians.
Cardiff Kardashians, that's us. Yeah, it's trend making all the way from Wales. But I was, you'd always catch these shots of me being told by my mum or my sisters, like, James, don't do that. And then the next shot would be, James, get off that.
Yes.
So I think I was always just a little bit of a kind of child that wanted to push the boundaries and be a tiny bit rebellious, but never mean with it. Just always a bit curious and a bit wanting to.
Well, having four sisters, I mean, that's quite an interesting dynamic. You must have had four mothers and a mother
as
well.
Oh, no, totally. And I'm a twin. So also, weirdly enough, my twin sister is probably the most maternal. Like, you'd honestly think there's 20 minutes age difference between us, but you'd honestly think there was like 20 years.
Really?
So I totally had that. But they would all say I was like the spoiled blue-eyed boy at the bottom of the family food chain.
Right.
But and there's probably some truth to that. But I mean, we all get on so well. Like, I still have such a great relationship with all of my family, and I'm sure you appreciate a trip back to Cardiff and a trip back to Wales is always one to like
it really
see
is.
Familiar faces and stuff.
Yeah. I know. And I think that I definitely, for me personally, you know, so much of that kind of growing up, the sort of traits that we had being Welsh in a real strong community, that sort of follows you, doesn't it, through your career. But are there any particular traits that you think that you sort of learned, you know, growing up that you now bring to your role as a leader within Harrods?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, actually, because I suppose I just answered that, say, in that sense of sort of rebellion, which, I mean, I feel I'm always, as a sort of leader and as like an individual, wanting to sort of do the best I can on any project.
Yeah.
I am really kind of encouraging of my team and myself to have that little sort of sense of rebellion in what you do, that actually there may be a different way to do it. Like, challenge the sort of norms of the way that process works or the way that project is moving. Apply the learnings from before, but also like, what can we do differently? And I want to like ensure that all of my team know that, I love a little bit of a kind of push of this here. If it thinks it's going to make it better, or you want to try something differently.
Yeah.
So I think that has sort of stayed with me actually from childhood to career.
That's really fascinating. And were there any kind of moments in your childhood that were sort of those pivotal opening door moments where you thought, actually, this is the path I want to lead, or this is the career I want to take, that sort of has led you to this moment here today?
Yeah, I mean, actually, my career in marketing started, funnily enough, in the world of theatre.
Oh, right.
And even though, I mean, sometimes people think that when I say, like, I'm at Harrods, but I started in the world of theatre, they feel like it's quite a big departure. But actually, I really do think I work in the most theatrical place that isn't actually putting musicals and plays on every single day. Like, the level of retail theatre that plays out in Harrods. And I think even that anyone that's ever come through the staff entrance, like, that sort of experience is so similar to coming through like a stage door.
Yeah,
like, you genuinely
really
feel
is.
Like you swipe in, there's people sort of at the tunnel who are like getting their hair done, getting ready for the day, almost putting their like costume on for the day. You get the sort of 5 minute calls of store opens in 5 minutes, just like you get actors calls.
Yeah.
So weirdly enough, it feels quite familiar.
It is.
But I feel like that sort of love of anything creative or artistic, like, I was a huge reader as a child, and we didn't get to go to see like theatre that much because it's such an expensive activity, but I love like cinema. So I think that sort of ignited a real curiosity in me and a real sort of want to like move into creative spaces.
Yeah.
And then my first sort of career, as I say, was in arts and theatre. And I feel like, having been in an arts centre, you work on such a breadth of different projects. Like, 1 week I would be doing a big blockbuster musical like Les Mis or Phantom, and then next day a burlesque show in a smaller theatre. And again, sort of similar to what the experience of Harrods is that, like, we're a store that sells delicious sourdough bread and baccarat crystal. Like, it all exists in one space and one entity.
So
I feel that sort of agility and nimbleness that I kind of learned from sort of starting in like Amdram Theatre and in creative space as a kid, and then moving my career into that.
Yeah.
And now being in, like I say, the most theatrical place in the world, I think, that isn't a theatre.
That's amazing. And such a good synergy to kind of connect those two, because it's so true. You walk through those doors and everyone's ready for their day, aren't they?
Totally.
And ready to perform and give everyone the best experience they possibly can. So I absolutely love
that. No, you're so right. And we used to talk a lot in theatre as well about that idea of like the swan effect,
that
like everything behind scenes can be like lots going on, lots of hustle, lots of bustle, like costumes changing and mics changing, and Howard's does have that as well.
Like,
there's so much happening underneath the seven floors of the
store.
Like
that, doesn't it?
But then actually, like, the magic of stepping onto like what
the
all
stage.
Of our customers see, the stage. Exactly. Yeah, you're getting it. They're so similar.
I really, really get it. I love it. And so obviously then, you know, you move to you leave Cardiff and you move to London. So what was that? What spurred that on? What happened that made you want to leave the bright lights of Cardiff?
For the bright lights of London. Yeah, that run down the M4 was one that I think was always on the cards for me.
Because
I just loved coming to London. And I mean, it would be something I would save up all my like money for. I had like a side hustle job when I was a teenager, and it would always be with the intention of getting like the coach to London and coming to the V&A or the National Portrait Museum. And it was always about kind of having that like one killer day in London. And I just really fell in love with London as a child. And I think it was kind of natural that it's where I started in the world of theatre. There's no better place or city in the world to do that than London. So my first sort of step into a career in the big smoke, as they call it back in Cardiff, was to work in the West End. So that was sort of the call. By sort of a very fortunate, happy coincidence, I decided I want to sort of move out of an agency career, because I was working in a marketing agency that had a breadth of theatre and arts product.
Okay.
But the challenge I found that sort of personally laid on me in an agency is that you don't get much opportunity to really completely dive into a brand. You work on such a variety of different things, and often the client dictates what element of it you work on. So you don't really get the 360. And I really missed that, even though I loved the area I was working and the projects I was working on. I knew I wanted to ultimately move back into a brand and really kind of immerse in one brand. So I applied for 4 roles at the time, 3 of which were still in arts and culture, and one was the green wild card, which was Harrods.
Wow.
And I don't even to this day really know why, because I was lucky enough to sort of get offered all of those roles, but something just was like, it's Harrods.
Yeah.
Like, there was like a bit of a whisper to be like, you have to go for this.
Yeah.
I'm sure you like probably have the same memories, that it just means so much. Like,
totally.
When people, even today, if I take back a a green bag or a hamper, everyone's so like shocked and surprised and wowed.
I was taking photos this morning to send back to my family. It's like, it is one of those things you just feel so proud about.
Yeah, totally.
It's really interesting you talk about as well, kind of having those days where you sort of left Wales to go to London, because I certainly had those too. And I remember so vividly saving all my money up and coming up one half term with my mum, going to what was the old weigh-in department and spending all of my money on this brown corduroy jacket.
Lush.
And I still, to this day, was so proud walking out with my Harrods bag. And I think you still get that pinch me moment, don't you?
Yeah,
so
totally.
When you walk out with your green Harrods bag.
Do you still have that corduroy jacket?
I probably don't. I should have saved it, shouldn't I? Because I could
have
handed it down to my daughter. I don't know if she would have liked it. But
I do actually remember my first day in Harrods and the thing that we left with. Me and my friend Jenny, we still talk about it, because we didn't have lots of money to spare, but it was the most delicious chocolate cake I think we've ever had to this day.
Yeah.
And we ate it in Hyde Park, and that was like our big like Harrods thing. But it was exactly that. Our parents had said, do not leave that store without a carrier bag.
Yeah.
So that was our mandate for the day.
Yeah.
So that still lives true today. I think that all of my family just want green bags off me whenever I go home.
That's what you're here for. And it's so funny, isn't it, how that comes full circle. So, you know, you sort of you leave Cardiff, come to London, do theatre, then you apply to Harrods, and it's that kind of wild card moment. But was there anyone, or has there been anyone in your journey and in your career at Harrods or outside of Harrods that's been someone that's of influence to you in a leadership capacity that you've sort of looked up to, who has really helped you shape you who you are and the leader that you are today?
Yeah, no, totally. I feel very lucky that actually in Harrods, and I really do feel so lucky to say I found many of those people who have taken great inspiration from. And I would even say, I think it's so easy when you have sort of, you talk about who inspires you, and you sort of, most people sort of think to look up and look at like directors and leaders that have like line managed you. But actually I found that sort of looking side to side and also at my current team, I'm like, I find a lot of inspiration there as well. But if I had to pick one person in particular, it's someone who really inspires me both personally and professionally, and that's Mia Collins, who's our director for beauty.
Yes.
Because personally, and something which I super care about, because I'm also the chair of our LGBTQIA network, is inclusion and ensuring that everyone feels seen, everyone feels heard. And Mia is such a sort of active ally within that space.
Amazing.
And I've seen her sort of in action in like professional spaces where she really sort of champions inclusion and diversity for Harrods and beauty. But also I find her somebody who I find lives so many of our values so excellently. Like I find she has incredible ambition and wants to strive to exceed for the beauty business, but also brings a lot of humanity to the way in which she does that. So I'm always kind of like sitting a little bit in awe of her when I'm like watching her in a beauty strat meeting or in a business update, because I think she just has this great poise and great gravitas, but always brings that sense of humour, that sense of humanity, that connection to the person as well as to the project. So,
And at Harrods, that's such an important value for us. Like,
totally.
We are human. It is all about, you're right. Like, sometimes having humour behind the madness of that is Harrods. Like, it's an important trait, isn't it, that all of our leaders possess in some capacity. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like I've tried really hard. So sort of, I've progressed quite a bit within Harrods over the years, and have been here for 10 years and have had varying roles, and sort of now find myself very happily in the heads of. And I try to always remember that as well, is that there has to be an element of humor. There has to be an element of like the fun. And when those moments where you could easily lose your head or get whipped up in the chaos, it's just kind of remembering like, you know, we're all people at the end of the day. And there's a real kind of, we will laugh about this in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I think actually seeing that mirrored in others' leaders is something that has really inspired me. Because sometimes you feel like you have to act a certain way or be a certain way, be super stoic, be super careful and cautious. But actually there is a humanity that you can also channel in leadership roles too.
Okay. So that very nicely brings me on to my next question, James. So it's been a big year for you.
A big year,
big year. You are obviously in your new role and you have recently launched our brand new Harrods brand book. So tell me a little bit about that, and like, how did that come about, and the ideation, and how that has helped shape, you know, the role that you do today as well.
No, for sure. And I mean, I think the catalyst for a refocus on our brand was in 2023, a project that is also very still close to my heart was our 175th anniversary. I mean, who gets to celebrate 175th anniversary rather in a marketing role? So that was a real great privilege. But I think it gave us in marketing and a number of different leaders across the business a chance to sort of take stock and stop and sort of say, what do we want this 175th anniversary to mean,
and to mark?
Like, do we want to be forward looking? Do we want to be archive looking? I mean, there were just so many of these sort of big questions about what that like three numbers, one big campaign, what does it mean for us?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the reflection there, it was super honest and really authentic to say that there's maybe a need for more of a kind of North Star and clarity on what the Harrods brand is, because, you know, we're so fortunate that it means so much to so many. Yeah. And a lot of those connotations are incredibly positive, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, everyone has a little story, don't they?
Everyone's got a story. Yeah. And I mean, that is something which, I mean, the second I joined Harrods, that was something which I loved. My first role was as an advertising exec. And everyone that you met in sort of these big publishers or these big media owners, they'd still be that kind of, I remember my first trip to the Harrods Grotto, or gran used to work in the furniture department. Yeah. There's always these
my
amazing...
My gran actually was a temp at Harrods.
Stop. Yeah. There's a story. Yeah. Jenny, you're going to have to tell it.
to be honest, she was a Christmas temp.
And, love.
But she was so proud of it. She used to tell me all the time that she was a Christmas temp at Harrods. And yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that how that pride still plays out, you know, generations ago as
and
well.
And did she have the best Christmas tree in all of Llanelli?
Well, she was actually Pembrokeshire.
Oh, right.
So she was Milford Haven. Potentially. I'm not sure, I have to admit. I'm not sure if she
room for improvement,
had...
I think. There we go.
Yeah.
Maybe a second season in the Harrods Business Department required.
So
it was a really kind of honest time to sort of think, like, what does our brand mean? And it, like, I think we all kind of agreed there was some need for definition, some need for work that would also inform like governance of our brand, guidelines of our brand. Because we are so lucky to be this incredible brand that means so much to so many and a stage for so many other brands.
Yeah.
But in that, there can easily be confusion about what Harrods stands for or exactly how to apply the right shade of green and all of these different things that, you know, are really important to making sure our brand has the kind of protection that it needs for the next 175. Yeah. Because, you know, our brand is... It is so powerful. It's one of our most powerful assets. It's ultimately what attracts customers to shop with us, attracts talent to work with us, attracts partners to, you know, join us on our kind of the experiences that we deliver for clients every day. And I think that sort of 175 moment then sort of sparked a great campaign, but also sparked something bigger, which was a refocus and a redefining of what Harrods brand means. And I guess this sort of, in anyone that... is looking at sort of embedding a brand strategy, there's sort of three key pillars that you address. And the brand book, which is the sort of physical entity, that like manifestation of what the brand is and should mean, and is really a tool for inspiration, to sort of dive deep into the history, to really open the chapters and feel like you really understand and know what that brand is and what it stands for, as well as some sort of sense of how you do utilize it effectively and meaningfully.
Okay.
And then the second pillar is guidelines, which is a little bit more of the kinds of rules and regulations to follow.
Which we all need.
And, you know, really keen to also ensure in the way that we sort of share them that they're seen as like a really vital tool that everyone should know and a shared language. But also something that isn't there to like confine creativity. It's there to kind of supercharge it. It's like to give you the kind of playbook of exactly how to sort of use all of those amazing assets and icons of Harrods. And then the third is, I guess, the process, which is the governance. So yeah, we're about to hit into sort of a wider rollout of guidelines, which I've been secretly sitting on for a couple of months now. And then just sort of then the next step is like wider comms and a focus on what the Harrods brand is and what it means and how it can be employed. But also ensuring this doesn't feel like a moment in time, and you know, we focus on brand and governance and guidelines for you know the next 3 months. We really want to focus on it for the rest of time and ensure that everyone really takes away that ultimately everyone employed at Harrods is a brand ambassador.
Yeah,
it's not purely a marketing matter. While we're kind of the catalyst, a lot of this, you know, our brand lives every day in the actions of every single person that that works at Harrods. So trying to inspire everyone to, you know, pick up that opportunity to be the amazing brand ambassadors that so many of Harrodians already are.
Completely agree. And actually, I suppose a moment for me in that journey was when you launched it, you know, and we all went to that kind of big cinematic viewing of this amazing piece of work and brand book. And actually you sat back and were like, yeah, like that is it. That's what, you know, that's the things we talk about, the things that we can't put our finger on and that's captured. So I know that was a moment for me. Have there been any moments in the last year that you've, you know, gone, that was, I'm really proud of myself for that.
Yeah. And I think actually to, not to steal your answer fully, Jenna, but that was, that felt like a really big moment because I think we'd done so much work behind the scenes, so much thinking, so much creativity, so much focus grouping, working with customers, working with internal business leaders, like getting a lot of opinion and trying to distill it into what does this really mean? And it felt like that moment was like the curtains drew back and we lifted the lid on it.
Yeah.
And it just felt like actually the culmination in 2 hours of what had probably been like 18 months of really kind of deep, thoughtful work.
Yeah.
And I mean, we got to host it at the most incredible venue in BAFTA.
I know.
A lot of the content that we made was, it was made for a cinema and for a big screen. So it was amazing to see it all play out in that way. And even just the, I sort of talked about how the brand book is really designed and purposed to inspire. And I think I got a real sort of palpable feeling
in
that
in
event. People were so like, what can I do? What can I be? What can I do next? What follows next? Like, I love this piece of content. Can I use it? I love this way that presentation slides. It was just, it felt like straight after that event, you could see that actually like the business and the people were really behind moving it forward and doing the best by our brand. So it kind of felt like a real world expression of that excitement in that moment. So,
well, it's inspired us in talent because, you know, it's now built our brand new employer brand campaign, which will be known as Everyday Excellence. But it, you know, it's a brand is so important because it's not just a customer brand, but it's also a talent brand as well. But how do you see that connect back to sort of the world of talent? And, you know, do you see any kind of opportunities with the brand and how we are perceived from a candidate perspective?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, honestly, it was never far from our mind. And I mean, I know I'm sort of repeating myself, but our brand is super powerful, not just for attracting customers and for amazing brand experiences for clients.
Yeah.
It's also about the partners we attract, but also the people that we attract as well. And, you know, sitting at the center of our new brand platform is this idea of opening doors. And I feel like actually as much as we, that sort of is an idea that is both literal in the sense that, you know, many of our clients are very delighted to be welcomed to our store every day with an open door, often held by one of our super charismatic green men. But actually it's quite a sort of, it's a concept that also lives beyond that. It's also not purely literal. It's about kind of opening doors to
possibility.
Yeah, possibility, opening doors to new experiences, opening doors to discover something that you didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And I think that is as true in the colleague experience as well. You know, it's about opening doors to mentorship. It's about opening doors to employee networks. It's about learning a different craft. It's about education. It's like, as much as we open doors to our customers to experience the full breadth and depth of luxury at its absolute best, I think that spirit of opening doors as this sort of journey onward and moving onward and a chance to learn and experience and discover is totally true within our employee community as well. So hopefully I have to say you and I can keep that conversation rolling.
I'd love to. Absolutely. So in your role, I mean, people always ask me about, you know, about jobs and like what people do in their jobs. And actually, there's no better opportunity than you to tell us, what does a day look like for James Moore in your role? What does that, you know, what is a normal day for you?
Yeah, I feel like the truth of Harrods is there's very few normal days, is there? I feel like that's probably true.
I would agree,
of everyone. And I think like variety is the spice of life and you get a lot of that within Harrods. And my role is, it's very interesting because I'm head of brand marketing and also divisional marketing. So I get to sort of focus on the aspects of our own brand, be that the Harrods collection, which is our sort of product manifestation of our brand, but also those like bigger brand strategies and also how customer and brand intersect. So also looking at things like our brand tracker, which, you know, gives us a read for how international audiences and local audiences feel about our brands and then how we apply that into smart strategies. So some of it's very kind of focused on us as Harrods. Mm. But then there's this other side of my role, which is about working with partner brands. And I mean, across the full portfolio of divisions. So fine watches, fine jewellery, okay. fashion, beauty.
Yeah.
And luckily in my career, I've had a stint in quite a few of those worlds. Fine. So I feel like I'm...
Well-versed,
and I've got a good head start on that.
Yeah.
But then I guess the other side is then sort of thinking about those moments of collaboration. So how we can kind of understand the NPD pipeline for brands, what exclusives are coming, what events and experiences they want to present. And then I guess always trying to think what that means fundamentally for that first half, which is, does it feel like it's building our brand equity? Does it feel like it's relevant to our customers? So trying to always ensure that everything that we do in partnership is taken into consideration the two North Stars of good for our brand and good for our clients too. Yeah.
So I have one final question, if that's okay.
Wow.
Yeah, we're here already.
Can you believe it? That's gone so quick. I could keep going for another hour.
That's the Welsh in us. We just love to chat and we're nosy.
It's true.
It's always the same. So what does the next year hold for you and your career? What do you see that, you know, what is the opportunity with obviously your brand book launch and how that kind of lands in Harrods? Like you said, it's about not just about a moment, it's now the extension of that. So what do you see that, you know, the next 12 months looking like for
you? Yeah, no, and you're totally right, because I think it's been so exciting to share what we have to date, but you know, we definitely recognize that we're at the start of that journey, and with sort of guidelines being shared, it will be very much about embedding them and having localized forums with different teams across the business to, you know, answer those very specific questions. Because again, I think we're not looking at guidelines as being a line in the sand and we'll never revisit them. Like they're kind of a living, breathing thing. Mm-hmm. So what else do we need to build into them? Mm. What kind of changes do we want to make? How do we keep conversations rolling with lots of people that use our brand every single day? Mm. So yeah, and then I think it's also the governance part, which will be, you know, it's maybe not the most sort of sexy part of it, but it's the process. It's also how we kind of ensure that the right processes and teams are set up to really kind of supercharge this brand strategy as well. Mm. And then on the other side of the coin, there's a lot of kind of exciting things that I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into. As I said, I've been lucky enough to work across many areas of the business in different divisions, but I'm super excited to have the first chance to work in fine watches and fine jewellery.
Okay, yeah.
So that's an area that I'm really excited to focus on and brings lots of amazing brand conversations and our annual fine jewellery gala and all of these incredible moments.
Incredible moment.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'm excited for that by way of like a new learning opportunity, a new area to get under the bonnet of and understand more. And so that's one that I'm particularly looking forward to for the year ahead.
That's very exciting. I said that was the last question, but it's actually not. Finally. One more question. And actually, I set a little task for you, didn't I?
You did.
Before you came today. And I asked you to bring an item. I'm fascinated by this, James.
I'm so excited to see your reaction.
Everyone's been telling me about it and it's a complete surprise for me. So
it's so left field, Jenna.
Really? Okay.
It's so left field.
The idea was I wanted you to bring something that represented the moment that you stepped into Harrods, that feeling, experience, the promise of Harrods, something that represents us as a brand. So
can I get it?
Please, if you don't mind, James.
I have to warn you, Jenna, as much as it's in a beautiful Jimmy Choo box, these are not for you. They're also not for me. So, but I mean, if only they made
these.
Well,
the box is enough. I'll just take the box. We were talking about the bag. I'll take the box.
And I'm going to be so careful because they're such a precious item. But I want to try and get the big reveal. And I also am going to ask you a question, Jenna.
Okay, go.
Because I feel like you will understand fully what the reference point is. But let's just see. So all eyes on Jenna.
Oh, gosh.
For the big reveal. Da, 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 da.
No.
What does it immediately make you think of?
The Dorothy shoes.
Dorothy shoes by Jimmy Choo.
They are insane.
So these are from Shoe Heaven. We very kindly borrowed them for today. But I think legitimately, any customer stepping through our door ultimately are putting on their Dorothy shoes. They're putting on their red ruby slippers.
I mean, like,
because you know that scene in do you know The Wizard of Oz?
Of course.
Okay, good. Great. There's a whole other hour podcast between me and Jenna on this topic. So brace yourselves, audience.
I mean, on all the Wickeds.
Do you want to hold them? Do you want to have
please?
I'd say don't try them on. But
probably too small for me. But
I don't know what size. I mean, what a stunning pair of shoes. But I feel For me, that scene in The Wizard of Oz, do you know when Dorothy sort of lands in Oz, doesn't know where she is, it's all in monochrome, she's just about to step out, and she pushes open the door.
Yes.
And this entire world of technicolor, of magic, of adventure, of experience. And when we were sort of talking about the concept of opening doors, and you immediately start to think about the reference points of like, what might that be in cinema? What might that be in music? How does that sort of live? That scene of Dorothy entering Oz, I genuinely think is such a cinematic moment that for me expresses that experience of entering Harrods, like the adventure that's coming. And for me personally also, you know, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Lion, like the friends that you meet along the way.
Yeah.
And I feel so lucky to have made so many, you know, lifelong friends on this sort of Herodian yellow brick road.
Yeah, green brick road.
The green
maybe.
Brick road. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an emerald city at the end of the day. What more could feel more Herodian? But yeah, and I feel, so yeah, this item, I'm glad that you totally got the connection straight away, because it is, I genuinely am like, I feel like our customers put their ruby slippers on for an entry into Harrods.
Yeah.
And you know, it's also that space that can also feel quite homely to many as well. Like, you know, click them three times and you're back home. And I think so many of our people in our community in Harrods reference it like they would their second home, as do many of our clients.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of duality of Oz being about feeling adventurous and being like stepping into another world, but always having that sense of feeling like familiar and home and friendship. I feel, for me personally and professionally, I think Harrods brings a lot of that to life, and I couldn't think of a better product to speak to opening doors.
Amazing. And you've set the bar so high now. I mean, any of our other guests, what are they going to bring that's going to match the Dorothy shoes? James, thank you so much
for
today.
Thank you so much.
I do actually have a little gift for you as well.
Stop. Yeah. No, they weren't a gift.
Well,
you get
let me pass these beautiful shoes back to you. Yeah, they're not a gift. They're just holding them.
Holding them was enough.
And this is going to be a bit of a letdown in comparison now, I'm afraid. And it is just a bit of fun. But
as
our first guest of True Tales from Harrods, the leadership edit, this is a little bit of fun. Please.
Okay. Should I be scared?
I'm not sure scared. You might just laugh.
Oh my gosh. What have we got?
I hope you put this on your mantelpiece forevermore.
It's me. Sorry, that's, oh my gosh, I love this.
So yeah,
adorable.
A memento from our time together. Thank you so much for your time today. Would you show the camera, please? Because everyone can see this wonderful gift.
It's so lifelike. It's so real. I love it. And I love that I'm the first.
Well, there's a little red badge. And I did ask the team, is that a Welsh dragon? But we can't quite tell.
Whenever anyone asks, I'm just going to say it's a touch of Welshness from me to Jenna.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the inclusion of the pride flag
as
well.
Yeah, well, as our chair.
This is so cute. Pride of place now on the mantelpiece.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
Well, thank you. Thank you for today. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. So interesting hearing about your, not only your career journey, your life journey to some degree, and also kind of what, you know, the last 12 months have held for you. So thank you so much. And it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And if you liked what you heard today, please subscribe and follow us so that you're ready and waiting for our next episode. Thank you once again, James.
Thank you. Diolch yn fawr, Jenna.
Diolch yn fawr. Thank you to everyone who's listened today. Thank you for joining us for this very first episode of True Tales from Harrods. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, make sure you follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. This is the first of many, and we can't wait to share more stories with you. Until next time.